Action.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Your Average Critics, joined as usual by Chris and Obi, but actually in person for the first time in 4 years or so.
Crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Happy days.
Yeah. I'm not sure we got any lag when we recorded over Skype anyway, but there'll be less audio disruption, hopefully.
My bus noises.
No, might hear the odd. So you're living a very quiet road, Chris.
So, yes, that's right.
Yeah, no more 119 being played in the background. So someone can find out where you are in real time.
good point.
But yes, we won't say which local bus route you live near. But yeah, so on the news front, there is the strike. For the writer's strike still ongoing. It's been a few months now. The actors are also on strike. So I guess it's just down to the directors, but yeah, Hollywood's basically at a standstill. The Oppenheimer premiere, most of the actors turned up, took pictures and then left. The Haunted Mansion premiere was just filled with Disney characters. Mm. People in Disney dress up like you'd get at a theme park.
Can I ask an ignorant question?
Yeah.
So I know what the writers are striking for. What are the actors striking for?
I mean, I don't know for sure, but I think it's part of it's solidarity. Part of it's also like, again, you know, particularly with like what happened in The Flash with Christopher Reeves.
Right.
I think it's about safeguarding their likeness, and so that you can't just, you know, I film for an hour with you and then I don't need you anymore, and I just use a deep fake of you for the rest of the series or whatever, you know, and stuff like that. You know, AI, it's all those sorts of things. There's residuals.
Mm.
So, you know, there was someone from Orange is the New Black, an actress, and she was in like loads of episodes, and she got like $27 or something for the residuals.
Mm.
And just not kind of sustainable. And then there was one of the writers of She-Hulk said that his residuals were like $300, which again is,
you know, per episode.
But yeah,
well, so he only wrote one episode, I think, this person.
So wait, residuals is what you get when you're in the episode, and every time it gets aired you get money?
Yeah.
Because so I don't really watch him, but so the geezer Josh from Drake and Josh, he was saying he gets no residuals.
Mm.
So all the Nickelodeon stars, none of them get residuals. But all the extras and the background characters, they do.
Mm.
So because I
well, that makes sense in a way.
In a way, but like, it's weird because you hear like people from Friends or from
Big Bang Theory.
And what's that other really famous one?
Two and a Half Men.
They get like.
He's getting like a million per episode.
Yeah, like crazy money. Yeah. But like, I did, you saying about the AI, I did see something that they were trying to impose a contract where actors sign it and it's a lifetime usage of their
background actors. That is the Black Mirror plot.
Yeah, literally. But it's the background actors, they wanted them to sign it and then they could use their likeness for all the films and then they'll give them money per film.
No.
But cool. I think that's, but then you're just not an actor anymore, are you? And this is where you go down a rabbit hole of using AI for everything. And
would you, if they said to you, obviously we're not actors, we said to you, we'll give you, I'm trying to think of a good amount, we'll give you £5,000 and we can use your likeness in a show, like it's going to be like a fiction, obviously it's not going to be like reality, in any fiction show for like the next 20 years, but we can use it however we want.
Five grand,
yeah.
No.
You don't have to do anything though. So you just basically £5,000, free.
No, because like,
you don't have to do anything.
Yeah, but football players, they get paid loads of money for their likeness being on FIFA and stuff.
Yeah, okay, so it's either that or you're not an actor, you don't do anything, and you have no money, and you get no money.
What? It's only £5,000, it's not life-changing.
It's money though, for doing nothing. £5,000. For doing absolutely nothing.
No, because also, like that Joan is Awful show, which is an episode of Black Mirror, I don't know if you've watched it, but it's similar. It's like they use AI and they basically deep fake like Salma Hayek onto some person.
Okay.
And then they can make you do whatever they want, you know.
What they stipulate is that the whole point of the episode, I think, well, part of the point of the episode is that when you tick agree to terms and conditions, you don't actually know what you're agreeing to. Yeah. So this woman's ticked to agree it.
So I can't do anything like that.
Yeah, and then like, they're saying that with all the sensor things you've got in your house, they can tell what the lady was doing, and then they replicate her life in a show.
That's extreme.
Yeah.
That's extreme.
Because they were saying the other day about internet boxes.
Yeah.
Certain ones have the ability to actually track where people are in the room because of the light or something, but I don't know.
Nah, because they could be using my face for all sorts of... Nah, I'd
50 grand, 50 grand, 5 years.
I still want to sign off on all the stuff because I don't know what they're putting my face on.
I'd say, go ahead and use it. Because what are they gonna do? That's so
well, in the Black Mirror episode, the lady, in order to get Selma Hayek, the real life Selma Hayek, to step up and do something about it, she went into a church and defecated after eating loads of fast food.
Right.
And she had like swear words on her and stuff.
Yeah.
And then Selma Hayek's likeness got used in that sitcom.
Mm.
So that girl, the woman did it, but Selma Hayek then replicated it.
Mm.
And Selma Hayek was like, well, I didn't sign off on you making me defecate in church.
Mm.
And they're like, well, actually, yes, she did.
So, in this scenario, Black Mirror, was it a fiction or was it a reality TV show?
So it was basically this woman called Joan. She like had to fire someone from her job and she was basically not very happy with her boyfriend. And somehow... they call it Streambury, but it's Netflix. Netflix were in real time able to basically make a TV show out of everything that just happened in her life.
Okay.
And Sam Hayek was playing her. And so, yeah, it was like...
I think that's different, though, because that's... They're basing it off her life.
Yeah.
If it wasn't reality, I'm saying, if it's fiction, they'll use you in any fictional character, not based off your life, just whatever. Oh, yeah, fuck, go on then.
But they might make me a Tottenham fan.
I don't think it's anything
for that. For 50 grand, maybe.
50 grand, I might fucking be a Tottenham fan. Too.
I'd probably come and play it for 50 grand. 50 grand's a lot of money.
Mm. Anyway, I think I'm too much of a control freak to like not be able to sign off on all of the stuff.
I hear it.
Do you see what Tom Holland was trending on Twitter for the other day?
I saw a clip of him. So I've seen two clips in recent. So one of him talking about how he's quit drinking and how he hates Hollywood. I saw another of him just like dancing and stuff.
Oh no! There's some film or show he's in where he was getting back shots from someone.
Oh, fairs.
He's getting what?
Like
getting panned.
Yeah, bit of booty. I don't know where I was going with that, actually.
Oh.
What were we talking about before? Because that made me...
I can't remember, but quickly, just on top of
that. So what's the matter about that? It's not real life, right?
No.
No, I can't remember. I did have a point, but now I've just...
I don't know what your point was,
completely
but...
Completely distracted.
I'm going to say two things because of what you just said about Tom Holland thing. I'll say the first one first because it's less important. But people were saying that... So obviously, you know, like Zendaya.
In that trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to mention that because it was sort of like Zendaya's doing that with those two actors and now he's
retaliating.
He was saying
that's retaliating. Which I think is very funny. Yeah. But obviously not true. But
that was kind of mad.
But I think it's like.
It's acting, it's not real.
But this is the thing. So
well, like, kissing is, but.
Obviously, me personally, I would find it hard to be in a relationship with someone who's an actor because of, you know, all the things you see. But the people who were like, online saying like, oh, I don't know how Tom can deal with this. I'm like, he's an actor as well.
Yeah.
he understands everything that goes on.
I actually felt a bit sorry for him the other day because when he was doing, I think it was the interview you're talking about, and he was talking about that, what's the recent TV series?
This is what I was about to say.
Crowded Room or something. No, is it Crowded?
Yeah, Crowded Room.
And like, and he was going on about, oh, you just got to take the hits because
he really was.
The critics, like, but like the critics
were saying it's bad.
Were saying it's bad.
I felt really bad for him
because he sounded like he really put him. He sounded like he did kind of method acting for it, and it's kind of like you put yourself through that torture.
But I always think, do you know what's mad? As an actor, like you obviously, you know, you get your dream job as Spider-Man, and then you also think, you know, I do want to also broaden my horizons and go and do other roles. You go and do other roles, and everyone's like, this is shit. Like, so this one. What was the other one he did on
Apple Uncharted? Uncharted.
Cherry.
Like
Chaos Walking.
They've all been.
Yeah.
Someone said he needs to fire his agent.
Someone said he needs to fire his agent, but I heard that it's not his acting that's bad. Mm. It's just the story he's in. But
he's a good actor.
Do you know what though? I know he is a good actor, but if I was him, I would just rinse Marvel and Sony. Like, he's got two companies who can pay him.
Mm.
Just rinse them off their money, do 20 years of fucking...
I imagine you get quite bored of that. Like, this is the thing.
I know.
When you've got as much money as he got, I assume he has anyway, yeah. You do probably think, actually... And actually, you are an actor. You want to flex your acting muscles true. Quite a bit. So you probably want to go and do other stuff. But then obviously, yeah, when people come back and say, actually, shit, you should go back to do Marvel. Probably, it's probably quite disheartening.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah. Wasn't one of those films Russo Brothers? Chaos Walking, isn't that Russo?
No, Cherry. So, actually, I thought Cherry was okay, but
I haven't seen it. But
I do want to watch. I want to watch crap. Now he's got. Now he reckons he's got slated for that thing.
Mm.
I kind of want to watch it.
It's so Apple TV, right?
Yeah.
And is it a series, not a film? Or is it a film?
I think it's a series.
I thought it was a series, but it could.
I thought it was to come out.
Because I still want to watch that one with Taron Egerton.
Blackbird.
Yeah, I've watched like one ep, and I'm like, I need to.
Apparently, it's really good.
Crack on with it, yeah.
What were you going to bring up next?
I was going to see if there was any more film news.
I was going to
say, we're still talking about the animators' strike.
Oh, yeah, we were still talking
about. Oh, yeah, so Deadpool 3 was in production and has now stopped.
Well, it was in production. They said they're going to release it, 6 months earlier than they expected, and now they're writer's strike.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But then they've shown. Basically, again, it's all this shit. Why is people posting about. Sorry, I keep knocking the table. Why is everyone posting about bloody Wolverine costume?
Yeah. Well, I've seen
so many pictures from that set.
Yeah.
And you're like. Someone needs to stop things leaking out.
Have you heard the thing about Wanda versus Jean Grey?
Mm.
Oh, it was confirmed. Wanda 616 is going to have a fight against Jean Grey of 938. Jean Grey
in
being
Deadpool.
Yeah, Jean Grey being the one of the original trilogy.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I think most of them are back.
That's pretty cool.
So.
Pretty cool. I was going to ask if you wanted to talk about the Emmys at all.
Don't know who's been nominated for anything.
My phone's currently out of commission right now, but I'm trying to think who I saw was nominated. I think Andor got nominated for Best Drama Series.
Oh, do you know what? I still haven't finished that,
you don't know.
No, I did like it. I got to a bit where they got to the island with the other, not rebels, but the other people.
Yeah.
That's where I stopped,
because
I got told that them two episodes are a bit dry, and then it gets picked back up again.
Because
you've had all the explosions.
You got past that bit.
They blew up that place.
All that bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now they're on. Now he's gone to the separate island with that geezer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's where I'm at.
Okay, cool.
So I will watch it because I want to get up to date with everything. Because I'm gonna watch that Clone Wars Rebels, and then I'm gonna be up to date for Ahsoka.
I'm restarting.
There's no way I'm not watching Clone Wars without Ahsoka.
I was calculating with that. I need to watch Clone Wars and Rebels. I need to watch like 4 episodes of it a day.
Oh, easy.
For the next 40-something days. So,
oh my god.
Oh, that's really easy.
I actually never watched the Ahsoka trailer.
Wait, you started starting from the beginning?
No. I'm on season 3 of Clone Wars, and I watched like 5 episodes of Rebels.
Got 2 seasons left, I think.
Stay on Andor. Yeah. Andor's really good. Sorry, Ken.
So the nominations for Best Drama Series are Andor, Better Call Saul, The Crown, House of Dragon, The Last of Us, Succession, The White Lotus, which I actually thought was more of a comedy, and Yellow Jackets.
That's a really strong list.
So, The Last of Us, right? Yeah. So I saw their 34 Emmy nominations, yeah. So, Best Actor, obviously.
Mm.
Best Actress, obviously. Best Supporting Actor. They have, like, 5 of them.
Really?
And I was like, they can't all win, right?
So, Bella Ramsey being nominated for Best Supporting Actress is quite contentious in itself because they identify as non-binary, so... They've said that they're not comfortable.
She's a main character as well, so
she
shouldn't be supporting.
But like,
No, his point is there should be.
Point, I feel like she shouldn't be. She's not supporting actors.
No. Her best mate got a.
Her
best mate got a nomination as supporting actress.
Really? Or what? Guest or?
Storm Reid was it?
Yeah, whoever that girl was in that one episode.
Really? I saw the little kid.
And then the priest, I think he got nominated for one.
I'm surprised.
The two geezers.
Oh, both of them.
Yeah, they do have a guest actor.
I thought maybe they might be the guest actor one, but because I feel like there should be some sort of stipulation for supporting. You have to be more than one episode.
Well, because that's what I was thinking, but they got better in there. Yeah. I was like,
Bella Ramsey is up for lead actress.
Okay, yeah, so she's up for lead and supporting.
No, she's not supporting.
Oh, okay.
No, it's just
right. Okay, so
five or six for that's the supporting one. And I thought
so. The contention is the non-binary.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So what was the one you were saying yesterday? You said
Obi-Wan got nominated for best limited series. I couldn't believe it.
How many limited series are up for these?
I don't know. I can't wait. There was not five of them. Beef's so good.
Really?
Is it good?
I thought it was great. Do you like it?
I've not finished it.
Oh, mate, I thought it was great.
I've only watched the first ep, but you reckon it's worth it? I'll do it.
Mate,
there's so many things though, you know. There's like so much stuff to watch. It's unreal.
This is the thing. There's so much TV.
I can't
like,
keep up.
Like, cause I watch anime like a load, and then on my Instagram reel, I get so much anime pop up. Like, you know when you start looking through the videos.
Yeah.
So I saw the one on Disney Summertime Rendering, and I was like, okay, I'll give it a go. It's 24 episodes. They're 20 minutes, but and you can reel through them, but it's like a lot of time consumes you. And I'm like, flip it out.
I still haven't finished watching Blue Lock.
I need to finish that as well.
April, and I think I'm only in episode like 13.
Yeah. I'm not going to go through all the Emmys. Fair. We'll just wait until someone's won something and we can see if it's fair.
Yeah, what was it about the actress? Was it supporting actress or...
It was lead.
No, but what?
Bella.
But the supporting actors for that thing.
Oh, there is a guest star one. But I was going to say, so you were talking about Andor. We've got Ahsoka coming out. I haven't seen the trailer for that yet, but we got trailers for Wonka.
Yep.
Which... looks all right.
I thought, you know what, the trailer actually made me think, actually, you know, I might go watch this. Because I wasn't really thinking, didn't really care about it. But yeah. I watched it, I think, you know what, I actually like Timothy Chalamet. And it seems like, it gave me like a hint of like Greatest Showman sort of vibes. And I thought, you know what, I'm probably going to go and see that when it comes out. So yeah.
Did you ever watch the Paddington films?
I wanted to watch it because of the
Nicolas Cage Pedro Pascal
they're
chatting about in that film. It's like the greatest, it's the greatest film ever, and he's like, don't be so stupid. But it's actually quality though.
It's the same director.
Okay.
So
there are hints of that.
Is it a musical?
Well, I presume it will be.
Wonka.
I assume there'll be music because the last one had music in it, didn't it?
Yeah, you have the.
I didn't watch
Timber, like the Oompa Loompa song, don't you?
Timber, it was decent.
It looked weird.
I'm sure it was literally a carbon copy of the other one, just more modern.
Right.
And this is a bit of a prequel. This is not a chocolate factory thing, is it?
Nah.
Can you believe Charlie and the Chocolate Factory came out in 1971?
What?
Or Gene.
Wonka, the original one.
The original one, 1971. I didn't believe it. Because I remember watching that one as a child. I was thinking, oh, you're coming in the 90s.
Damn.
No, but the Tim Burton one was like the mid-2000s, wasn't it?
So. Yeah.
And then there was also a trailer for Napoleon.
I didn't watch that
which
one.
I started watching, but Joaquin Phoenix. Okay. I think it's Ridley Scott, isn't it?
Okay.
So that'll probably...
Ridley Scott needs a win, I feel like. I feel like his last few films have been...
Yeah. Like... He does churn them out, though. He seems to be like really prolific.
Mm. Did he do Hasaguchi? Ridley Scott? Am I making that up?
He might have done. I didn't watch that one.
Oh, you didn't?
No. I don't think you sold it to me.
No, it was shit.
He did The Last Duel.
The Last Duel, which actually quite falls
yeah.
right.
And then...
But didn't make any money.
All the Money in the World?
Yeah.
Or is that what it's called?
All the Money in the World. With Kevin Spacey, but they replaced him, right?
Yeah.
He needs a win, I feel like.
He does.
Yeah. There was a trailer for... Blue Beetle.
I didn't see that either.
I started it and I was like, do you know what? I'm not watching this trailer because I don't want it to give anything away, so I'm waiting until it comes out next month to watch it properly.
Yeah, I feel like they did a lot more promo for The Flash than they have done for Blue Beetle, considering The Flash is one of the biggest flops of all time or something.
It's mental, yeah.
It's not even made its budget back yet.
It's a bit of a hard one, The Flash, because obviously, like, you got in today's... Which is probably a right thing to do. You got like when people see criticism of an actor and actress, they then opt to not go and see the film with that actor and actress in, which is fair enough. Like he went a bit nuts, didn't he? And then you obviously got DC's declining succession rate at this point. It's not good. Mm. And I do think we are in a time where cinema is kind of dying. Like not a lot of people are choosing to go to cinema.
Do you think?
I think. Because things go on streaming services so quickly now, a lot of people will opt to do it. Or, for example, someone at work was saying to me that it's one of the Disney films came out, but they could pay to see it, was it 2 weeks earlier? They could pay an extra amount of money to see it earlier on the Disney. I don't know if they'd still do that.
But during COVID, there was like pay for
it. Mulan, wasn't it?
Maybe they don't do it.
It was like, you can pay £30 to watch Mulan 2 weeks early.
But then some people might think, if I'm a family of four, I'm going to pay, £30 for the cinema tickets.
Yeah.
Get some popcorn from the shops, I'll do it now.
But you asked me earlier, am I going to watch Indiana Jones? And I was like, well, to be honest, it'll be on Disney Plus in about 3 weeks. So I now am at a point where, like, I don't have Paramount Plus, so I'm not going to be able to watch Mission Impossible legally. And also, that's the sort of thing I'd watch in the cinema because it's a big action film. Yeah. But, you know, like Elemental or something like that, I'll just wait. So, yeah, it is a shame.
I think it gets to this point where it's like when, I don't know if I've probably showed you both, but it's when Matt Damon was talking about like how films make their money, and it used to be, what was it, like 50% was DVD sales and then it's 50% cinema. And now it's more like, what you got, like maybe 5% from DVDs if you're lucky. Then you're getting like 25% from cinema. And now you've got a streaming service, you've really got to pay for it. Like, if I was Mission Impossible, I wouldn't have sold that to Paramount. I would have been like, you're not getting any of it. And then they don't have to give you a massive check for you to be like, okay, cool.
But the thing is, these studios are producing these films and they have their own streaming service.
True.
So, like, you know, I'm sure Tom Cruise would be able to raise the $200 million. I think it was $259 million or something cost to make Dead Reckoning Part One.
Okay.
It's one of the most expensive films of all time.
Indiana Jones was $295 million.
Oh my god.
Jesus Christ. Would you see, apparently Dead Reckoning's flopped at, well, technically a flop.
Yeah, it's not done well.
It's done 59 mil first week.
Which is not great.
This is the like, so I think it was a few years ago Steven Spielberg was like, there's gonna get a saturation point where films will costing $200 million it will have to go down. It's like football transfer fees. There's gonna have to be a point. Not everyone can afford £105 million for a midfielder. Yeah. So eventually the market will crash. And I think the same with Hollywood is, because when you make a $200 million film, you need to make over $500 million to be in profit. And now you're not doing that. So, you know, I think we spoke about it last week about the films that actually have made $1 billion since sort of COVID, and it's not that many. So either the budgets need to go down or they need to put them in cinemas for longer.
This is the thing, like, I think, like, even just general life, things go up and down, like, material costs for things have, like, skyrocketed. But I do think, like, films companies must be going to these really high-end, really, or not even that high-end, really expensive companies. Because I look at, like,
To produce
stuff. Oh. And it's like, that's why their costs are going up. That's the only thing I can think of. Or you're going to have to start getting some nobody actors into these films. Like, for example, no offence to the geezer, I don't know his name, but Transformers, right? I don't know if we spoke about that last week.
We did.
But, like, as a film, okay. It wasn't the greatest storyline. I feel like it could have influenced a bit better with some more beast Transformers in it for a bit longer, yada, yada, yada. But to me, they had unknown actors in it, so that's probably saving them a bit of cost. But for me...
Fair.
I don't know where my point was going, but for me, the visuals on Transformers is unreal. Like, I mean, there might have been some scenes which...
The one that's just...
Like, the intricacies with the way they transform is unreal. And then I look at some films and I'm like... Your CGI...
You can't even render a baby's face properly.
That's what I mean. Do you know what I mean? Like, I just don't get it.
I still think the baby thing was on purpose, by the way.
I think the baby thing was on purpose.
Because otherwise it's too real. Otherwise it's like, fucking hell, the baby's about to fall.
Yeah, out. I reckon there might be some... BFI? Is that the British broadcast? BBFC. It might be something in there, like, you can't harm a baby.
Strong falling babies.
But I
put babies at risk, maybe. I don't know, like...
I completely agree with you, because I think... terms of like priorities, I think, to be honest as well, like, I think most films can start or should start kind of just scaling back a little bit and kind of just go back to, you know, if you can shoot practically. If you don't want to cast, like, if you don't want to spend $20 million for a film to cast, I don't know, Tom Cruise or Robert Downey Jr., then get a lesser known actor for less, and then you can, you know, maybe afford to go to different locations and film different.
But you also get people like Wes Anderson. His films are packed with massive actors because they want to work with him and they take the minimum that they need to.
Did you watch Asteroid City? Sorry.
No, I didn't. Okay. Did you?
What was it called?
Asteroid City. But there's an actor. It was either Edward Norton or Adrian Brody or someone that's worked with Wes Anderson loads of times.
Yeah.
I think it was Edward Norton.
It was Edward Norton.
And he said in an interview, he loses money every time he works for Wes Anderson because they pay him, I think it's $35,000, because that's whatever the minimum is that you're allowed to pay an actor. He's like, I want to work with Wes, so I'll take the minimum.
What's loses money, though?
As in, like, you know...
His travels get there and back.
All the other stuff. Like, he's
so he could probably stay there and save money, but in order to do all the stuff...
So, like, you know, actors do want to work with certain people. You know, some actors are desperate to work with Tarantino or whoever. Like, Jonah Hill, he took minimum for, which one was he in? Django, for that cameo.
Jonah Hill's in Django.
Very briefly.
Very, very quickly.
But
what? You know the scene with they got the bags over their heads.
Yeah.
And he's like saying like, they were like on the horses and like, was like, no one can see because the bag's been cut.
Oh yeah, that whole gap.
Okay, fine. I watched it the other day.
So you don't need to spend millions and millions.
No.
Yeah.
And there was reports that like the Fantastic Four budget was going out of hand because all the cast were just too much money. It's like, if they're charging you $30 million to star in it, they probably not want to be in it that much.
If you're Marvel marketing, like, because I've heard, like, last year, Marvel have gone on about how they're going to scale back their series, they're going to spend less and less money on series.
Mm.
But I feel like they're not, they're just saying it.
Yeah.
And Fantastic Four, that is one of the films where I would be like, yeah, I want some big names, but my budget has got to be minimal because this film could...
things with Fantastic Four though, it's got to look good.
Yeah.
Otherwise, then like you know the powers and the what's it called, Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah.
All that, the spinning powers, the thing, all that. That's got to look good.
Yeah.
So I understand with that why they're like, okay, cool. The budget's got to be quite high for that one.
I do feel like the last movie of Fantastic Four, Doctor Doom looked rubbish, and I think the thing looked rubbish as well.
Yeah.
I think they did quite a. If I remember correctly, Mr. Fantastic could change his face. I thought that was quite clever, but the general story was a bit...
But you can incentivise actors by saying, we'll give you this much, but then you can get 5% of the box office or whatever, you know. But yeah, I think there's going to be a point where it's not sustainable to be spending almost $300 million on a film, plus another $300 in marketing.
We keep losing money.
How much did they spend on Spider-Verse? This is an animated film, right? So how much did that cost? Because they were saying one of the scenes take...
Like 3 years or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, because they did different Spider-Men or
women. So it was $100 million.
Okay.
See, people are going to start doing animated films. Mm. If that...
And it made $650. Mm. And obviously Mario...
It only made $650.
Yeah, I mean, that's more than double the first one.
The first one only made $300 million.
The first one didn't make a lot of money.
No.
People loved it, but not a lot of people went to see it.
Yeah. Damn. Whereas Mario made like $1.2 billion.
Yeah, that's mad.
And that, to be fair, visuals, quality, but film itself, bit of a dry story. But just.
Fair.
But they reckon they're going to make a Peach movie now because in the new Mario game that's coming out, there's actually. It's like the old school one where like you can bounce on the boxes.
Mm.
Peach has got her own levels in it as well, so I reckon they're. Scooting it so Peach can get her own movie.
Fair enough. I mean, I probably won't go see that.
Should we segue into Across the Spider-Verse?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Should
have done it earlier, mate. Should have done it earlier.
Yeah, I mean, it came out
6 weeks ago, I think.
Yeah, a while ago.
Yeah.
But obviously, we had quite a lot to catch up on. So this one is the sequel to Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. We follow Miles Morales, who, you know, is. Trying to live his life as a kid, pressures of school, pressures of family. He's kind of had this experience with the other spider people after the first film. You've also got Gwen, who's living her life in her world. She's sort of got a strained relationship with her father. She sort of was at the scene where her friend Peter Parker in her universe was killed and he was turning into the lizard. So she's sort of teamed up with some of the spider people led by Miguel O'Hara, who's Spider-Man 2099, and Jess Drew, who's Spider-Woman, I think was her name.
So,
They've got like a team that go around basically stopping, well, they don't call them incursions, do they? But it's essentially when someone is in a different universe and they shouldn't be there, they kind of sort them out. And she sort of goes to visit Miles, he wants to join them, and Miguel's very anti it.
Mm.
And that's the broad plot. We've also got the Spot, who is a sort of bit of a joke at the beginning, but is able to, well, create holes in his body and portals. And there's quite a fun sequence where he's flying around and, you know, punching himself in the face and got toast falling out of him.
Mm.
But he sort of blames Miles for he's in the explosion with Kingpin, wasn't he, and got sort of changed his body and
he also He also says that he created Mars as well, because he brought the spider to...
That's true, yeah. So the spider, which isn't from Mars' universe.
That's the big kicker, isn't it? The whole film.
Yeah, which we'll get to, but I thought that was quite clever. Mm. But so the spot's there. He's trying to be more powerful, trying to upskill himself to, I guess, dominate the multiverse. Miles, meanwhile, sort of just imposes himself on the spider people, and they go around fight. They go to an Earth where there's Spider-Man India. They meet Hobie Brown, who's Spider-Punk, and then they sort of, we get introduced to these like canon events, which are like events that have to happen. You know, so normally someone dying, so Uncle Ben or a similar figure in the other worlds. And that's just to like keep the continuity of that universe going. Mm. But Miles disrupts Spider-Man India's canon event, and that leads to like more issues with that world sort of looking to collapse. And then there's a whole sort of chase sequence where Miguel's like, you're the sort of reason... Well, the reason you can't be here is because you shouldn't be here in the first place. You should not be Spider-Man.
He's an anomaly.
Yes, he's an anomaly. So the spider that bit him was not from his universe. So he should never have been Spider-Man. And
Peter Parker in his universe only died because of him.
Yeah. Yes, so he's basically a walking issue for them, which I thought was like a really cool twist. Even though it's kind of like... I kind of felt like I should have seen it coming, because I think we knew right from the beginning that the spider wasn't from that universe, didn't we?
Do you know what? I rewatched the first one, and the spider does glitch.
Mm.
Yeah.
But I didn't even clock it until watching the second one. They said, "Oh, this spider's from the universe." I was like, "Oh,
yeah."
Let me go back and watch.
And that's the point.
And they put it in there
because Miles glitches quite a lot because he's in the wrong universe. Mm. And then in at the end of the film, which obviously is going to lead into Beyond the Spider-Verse, he is actually in the wrong universe himself. Gwen is trying to find him in what should be Miles' normal universe. He bumps into his uncle, Uncle Aaron, I think it is, who in this universe is still alive. And this universe doesn't have a Spider-Man.
No, it doesn't. His dad's passed away in this universe.
That's it, yeah. But Uncle Aaron's there, and he's like, oh, why are you the Prowler? He's like, I'm not the Prowler. Mm. And then... Miles Morales is the Prowler. And actually, if you watch the first film, there's a part where Miles is sort of like
his
shot
his,
and it goes purple.
Yeah.
And then it goes red and blue.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like that was his sliding doors moment like he should have been he should have been the Prowler.
Yeah.
And then it sort of ends. But yeah, I mean, first of all,
honestly, because I didn't rewatch the first one. I missed all these moments, so maybe next time I watch it, I'll rewatch it all.
I feel like this is a great example of a film where the sequel, everything that they've planned it from the first one. Because so many times you get like, you know, I don't know, Iron Man 1, and they go, oh, we're going to do Iron Man 2. But it's sort of like loads of things happen in between. And it's like, okay, well, the story's going to change now, and this is what we need to do to kind of figure, make this work. But no... Like you said, you go back and watch the first one, and there's so many linkages. And this film, I think it's the longest Hollywood animated film ever made, at 140 minutes.
I wonder if the next one will be longer.
Maybe.
Are they only doing three?
I think so, yeah. I think.
As in, the next one's part one, part two, is that...
No, I think this two? Was part one.
This is part one. Next one's part two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Done.
So it's just three films, not... Apparently. Right, okay.
So I reckon after that, they're going to venture into live action.
Yeah.
Miles.
But the detail in this film of, like, the amount of spider people there are, the sort of...
Did you hear about the Lego thing? Some kid made that Lego scene.
He was, like, 14.
Really?
And they loved it, so they put that in.
I thought so quickly, because I was thinking about that whilst you were talking about it. And that's probably one of my favourite scenes where... when the Lego Spider-Man, they're like, boop, 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 boop. What's up, Miguel? And he walks around. He's like,
you're one of us.
I literally, oh my God. Oh, that was so fucking funny.
That was
brilliant.
Oh, my gosh.
But, we see so many different worlds, which, to be honest, does get a little bit confusing about where we are. But like you said, the detail, we get the Lego one, we get a bit of live action. You've got Donald Glover returns as Uncle Aaron from, presume it's the same characters from Homecoming.
I'm not sure.
Interesting.
I'm not sure.
It could be, but I just took it as... Donald Glover. Yeah. They just wanted him like in it because he's the original. Yeah. He's the reason essentially Miles Morales is a thing.
Mm.
Is he?
I think it was based on him or something.
Yeah, he wanted to. I think Miles Morales was made. The character was made in like 2010, 2011. Donald Glover said that he wanted to play Miles Morales because he was too old.
Yeah.
The people who were then writing the comic kind of like wrote and drew Miles based on Donald Glover.
Oh, okay. All yeah. right. Fair enough. I took it as he was the same character from Homecoming, but it'd be interesting to.
I've got a few questions about the film. I love the film, so any of these questions, or if you like, they're just questions. So just to remind me, why is it that Miles got sucked into that universe at the end?
Because
he's not originally from that universe. The machine, but the spider's from that universe.
His DNA is infused with the spider now. So the machine has
universe.
The machine was designed to send you back to your original universe because he was infused with that.
That makes sense. And then
42, 47.
Then I've got obviously these events, canon events, right? So obviously we're gonna then assume that this is not linked to the MCU because of Loki kind of happened and it deviates somewhere else. So you're telling me, so how did they stop the canon event in Mumbai,
The spider, we don't know what, if they actually managed to fix it. We assume that maybe they did, but they had all them spider people coming out and cleaning up, basically. But we don't know what they actually did.
Because my thought process is Miguel going to be a real bad guy here? Does he get the spiders?
Is who going to be back?
No, well, I'm just assuming. How do they do it? Do they go and kill the police officer?
Oh, yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Because then they're not... Because the world
itself was unravelling. Yeah. You know, like in that episode of Doctor Strange, when... in What If, Doctor Strange, and the whole world started unravelling because it was kind of like that situation.
Okay. Because I'd be intrigued to know how they actually stop it, because right now we're in a bit of limbo, how they actually stop it.
Yeah.
What else was I going to say? Also, would have loved to have seen, and they did loads of flashbacks to different Spider-Man's thingies, but they didn't have one to the 1990s guy. The one I used to watch when I was a kid.
I reckon they're saving that for the next
one. You reckon? Because all I could envision was I just wanted that to happen.
Mm. I reckon they're saving it for
the next one. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was the original Spider-Verse. Fox Kids, 90s show. Yeah.
You also didn't have Tom Holland, because you saw glimpses of Tobey Maguire, you saw glimpses of
Andrew Garfield. Next one as well.
Yeah. Mm. And also, I guess, if you're really kind of stretching it, if Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire's Spider-Men are within the Sony-verse, then technically they're also MCU, because we had Spider-Man No Way Home, where they came to that universe. So I do think there will be a point in Beyond the Spider-Verse where you get live action and you get the MCU introduced, and we probably get a live action Miles.
But to be fair, they do reference Tom Holland, don't they? Because they say they're kids
from the nerd. 66119.
But I thought it was 616. So
it was 616, and then they announced it was actually
111. They say 616 in Spider-Man Far From Home, but
no,
Far
From Home. No.
It was Mysterio, wasn't it? Yeah,
Mysterio's chatting shit, and then when they go to in Doctor Strange's one, they say it's Earth 616 as well.
Oh, do they?
Pretty sure.
Okay.
But then in another film, they say it's Earth something else, don't they? I don't know.
Not a clue.
Yeah, it's all getting a bit confusing.
This is probably one of my favorite films of all time. Genuinely.
Wow.
I love it, and I finished watching it, and I was like, I love this film. Do I love it? Do I really love this film? And I was like, you know, let me calm down. And like, you know what I know I love a film? Is that I couldn't stop thinking about it for the next like 2, 3, 4 days. I woke up the next day thinking about, oh my God, how good
what,
is that
What film? Did you love about it so much?
I think I love the character of Miles. And I think they did so well to kind of encapsulate everything that I think Spider-Man traditionally represents, but also kind of put their own Miles Morales spin on it. I think you got the bits in the beginning where he's like trying to juggle his regular life with also trying to be Spider-Man. That's a classic, like Spider-Man. You can't do it all. You can't save everyone. Mm. He still tries to save everyone. He won't let one robber get away because, you know, that's the sort of character he is. And then you get like the all emotional side of it with the parents, and they're like, you know, we just want to know what's going on with your life. And he's like, you don't understand me. Blah, blah, blah. Move on now. Then you've got love interest, Gwen Stacy, his whole relationship with them, the way that's kind of like designed in various different moments, like when they're traveling across New York, The bits where they're like, they're walking on top of like the statue and the scene flips and they're kind of like, you know, it's hanging upside down. And then Gwen being like, oh, in every universe, you know, Gwen Stacy falls for Spider-Man. Mm. And then he's like, moves his hand. She's like, oh, but it never ends her.
Yeah.
But then she notices it and she's like, because that was like, there's a connection there between them two. I think their relationship was great. And even like, kind of like how that kind of goes throughout the film. And even Gwen Stacy herself, kind of like being, having like basically the opening and the closing of the film, especially the opening when you find out kind of like how, what happened to her, everything that entails, her relationship with her father, and how that kind of like repairs itself kind of like towards the end of the film. And then she kind of like gangs up and gets all the crew back together, yeah. Spider-Man Noir, Spider-Pig, and all of them like to go and get Miles from at the end. Then you've got like, Peter B. Parker, whatever his name is, Jake Johnson, his character, he's a dad now, and he's like to Miles, yeah, I became a dad because of you. I thought if I have a child and it turns out to be like you, then, you know, I would have done a good job. I just think all those different aspects of the film, even like little bits like when Miles follows Gwen to where the spot has been, just before he follows it into the multiverse, the Spider-Verse, sorry. And he's gone invisible and he's hanging upside down and like he's hanging upside down and she's standing like there and they're like, it's like Mary Jane and Peter Parker and Spider-Man 1. I'm like, that was so fucking cool. And then like, just things like that, I'm just like,
Does he get these powers from? Did he have them in the first one?
It's the spider. He does have that here.
Yeah, he can go invisible and he can do electric shock.
That's all from the awful spider, yeah.
Yeah.
And even, yeah, tying in the spot, the spider, all like that. He was like, I made you, you made me. You know, this is how it's supposed to be. You think that the spot, based on the trailer and based on the start of the film, you think the spot's going to be just like some random villain of the week. Da, da, da. Turns out he's going to be like, you know, a big deal. You've got...
I thought that was a very good twist, actually.
I think that was a great twist.
Yeah.
I think, like, the twist, obviously, yeah, the twist at the end where he goes to the wrong universe. And it was a thing where, like, I only clocked it, like, a millisecond before they revealed it. And I was like, shit, he's in the wrong universe. And they go, oh, he's in the wrong universe.
But also, yeah. Like, if you were sort of really observant, you would have got it. Because each universe has a different colour palette and all that sort of thing.
Well, this is the thing. When it was happening and, like, it was Miles running back to his house, I was watching it thinking, like, this looks a bit different.
Yeah.
But I didn't think like anything of it.
I think initially you think it's nighttime, so maybe that's why it's different.
Yeah.
But
I was like, this room looks different. Mm. And then he's like, Mom, I'm Spider-Man. She's like, who?
Yeah.
Not heard of him, you know, that sort of thing.
And I just think like that was so, and the tension just built up and built up and built up to the point where like, oh, and now he sees his Uncle Aaron and it's like, fucking hell, like. Yeah. And then he has his dad's there. And then you get his doppelganger being the Prowler. And then, like, even, like, the subtle differences between the doppelganger were, like, you know, different hair. And when the mum says earlier, oh, you changed your hair. And then the doppelganger, I think one of the writers said that... So a different actor voices the other version of... Jerrell Jerome, who's been in a few things. But he is Dominican, I think. His family's Dominican. So he's fluent in Spanish. So his voicing of Miles has a slightly more of a Spanish twang to it because he's able to speak better Spanish because his dad's not been around, so he's been around as well.
Ah, that's really
little things like that. Yeah, I think are so like cool little details. Yeah. And even this having to talk about that, the animation, I think the animation of it all is like the best animated thing I've ever seen.
I think Gwen Stacy's world, mad. The different colours for emotion.
It's unbelievable.
Like, it took me a while to get it and I was like, okay, I've got it.
So
cool.
When we first saw it, I remember texting the group and I was like, yeah, that bit, I was just like,
I love it.
I couldn't keep up with it.
Mm.
But then when you said it was about the emotion that made it, it kind of resonated more.
Yeah.
I mean, it's borderline overwhelming, the amount of like stuff that's thrown at you.
Because you've got to change it. You're looking at the colours as well as what's happening. And you're like, where is it all? What's going on? Mm. But yeah.
Hey, did you watch Arcane?
Yeah.
It reminded me of that a little bit.
It has got a bit of a similarity to that, actually, yeah.
But yeah, like, I just think, like, visually, the storytelling, emotionally...
Man, keep going.
The film resonated with me so hard, and just, like, even when he's, like... Everyone's telling Miles, like, oh, so, like, you know, our uncle's died, oh, our captain's died, blah, blah, blah. We have to deal with it, it's part of who we are. And he's like, no, fuck that. Like, I'm Spider-Man, I'm my own Spider-Man. I don't have to go to the lane, ooh, you lot are doing, I'm going to go and do my own thing, like he says in the film. And I'm just like, that is, and even also things where you have like the little cameos and going to the Venom universe, going to the Spider-Man Lego universe, going to Spider-Man Mumbai, Hobie Brown, Daniel Kaluuya being Hobie Brown, like all of that stuff. And like, just, I just think they all encapsulate all together. I think it was probably one of the most pleasing experiences I've had in the cinema in a long time.
Wow. Yeah.
I quite like it was a different crew as well. Mm. Like, they kept obviously the main two, but then they shifted it a little bit and it was different people. Like, was it Kobe Brown? Hobie Brown. Like, initially you kind of you don't like his character because you're like, you're Miles' son. You're like, who's this guy? Have they actually been together? And then later on you're like, he's a G man. He's done his job. He's sorted us right.
When
out.
He was like when the Mumbai universe starts kind of like unraveling and they're like, oh, what's going on? He's like, oh, it's a metaphor for capitalism.
Yeah.
I'm just being like, who wrote this? Yeah. Some of that I think is hilarious. Yeah, he was probably my favourite new character, I would say.
I'm trying to think of the other new characters. So you got Miguel.
There's Jessica.
Jessica.
Some Drew.
Jessica Drew.
Because this is where, like, I get a bit of, obviously it was a bit funny in the, like, the therapy office, and it's like,
yeah.
Peter,
let me guess, uncle. He died.
Yeah. is it Ben Reilly? That's why I remember. He's like all emotional, like, oh, it's Andy Samberg doing the voice. And he was, I can't remember what joke he said. He was like, I'm feeling so much emotion right now, and stuff like that. I just think, like, it's so over the top. Yeah. It made me laugh so much. Just
but,
like the different.
But like, for me, right? So, like, so all these universes of Peter Parker in different shape or form. Being the Spider-Man, but there's not many other characters. Like, obviously, there's the Ben Reilly and there's the Gwens, and actually, now I think about it, there's actually quite a lot of others, so just ignore me to carry on.
But there's not that many, compared to the amount of
Peter Parkers,
Yeah, but then, yeah, it's interesting. They don't necessarily explain that. I mean, I'm going to have I really liked it. There were things about it that I think were less developed, and I know that probably when you watch it in combination with Beyond the Spider-Verse, it will be like one complete film. Yeah. But I feel like the spot is just completely pushed to the side as soon as he sort of gets more powers. And then for like most of the film, he's like not in it. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, it's like, oh, he's the villain. And you're like, okay, maybe I would have wanted a bit more of him reminding that he's the threat.
Right now, you feel like, you kind of feel like Miguel was a villain.
He basically trades places with Miguel. Yeah.
To me, it was like a bit jarring. It was like, oh, well, you've forgotten about the spot and now he's back. Mm. And also Miguel, like they say something about he's a vampire and all this sort of stuff, but you get like next to no backstory about him, which obviously a lot of them, they do that thing where it's like, oh, it's me again. You know this all before, but I'm Miles and blah, 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 and I'm Gwen. But, you know, I would have liked that with Miguel.
Mm.
Or just a bit more of like, how is he a vampire?
Also, his name is going to be really hard to continue soon, because the whole point was he's 2099, he's so far into the future, and now we're, what, 2023, right, and he's only, what, 30 years into the future?
I thought that he's real name.
No, but they must have turned him into Spider-Man 3099 or something.
Yeah. Yeah. What's a Blade Runner
24 year old?
God, that's only 23 years away.
You know what I mean? So, times are changing, but...
But, I mean, I agree with most of the things you said. There was those few plot points. I was like, I wanted a bit more. Was there anything that you thought it could have improved on? Any criticisms? Either of you?
I think I do agree about the thing with the spot. I think he could have featured a little bit more in the second half of the film.
I kind of disagree, because I feel like, because we know it's part one and two... It's like Thanos in Infinity War and he was in it, but he wasn't in it the majority of it. He came at the end, didn't he? He was like, I'll do it myself then.
Mm.
Like, I feel like because he's going to get a part two, that's when we'll see him more. Well, like, Thanos, you don't actually see him that much.
Not in the first two events. Not in the first Avengers, anyway. Not in the second at all.
But yeah, I feel like the whole point of this film was Miles' development. Miles to understand where he's come from, but where the spider's come from, and then also Miles to end up where he could have been kind of vibe. So it's, I think it was his storytelling, but then maybe there should have been a bit more of a, I don't know. I feel like making Miguel the villain, is it a good idea?
Well, it's the thing. So I think it's one of them things where you can also see where Miguel's coming from.
Yeah.
Because it's, again, it's one of the things do you prioritize the life of one person over the life of
everyone,
the whole universe? Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, so from that aspect, I get where Miguel's coming from, but also, fuck Miguel.
Also, I'm intrigued because from my point of view, so like Peter Parker's Uncle Ben has to die, right? Gwen Stacy's, however many there are, Peter Parker has to die.
And her dad. Isn't it her dad?
Oh, yeah, her dad has to, well,
I know he has to, yeah.
If he's the captain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, my thought process is, how do they know about Miles? Isn't he the only one?
He does. Isn't he the only
Miles? So, they're making an assumption
mm.
based on the whole captain of it all.
Yeah.
And then my point of view is...
Miles also had a vision of his dad about to die.
Yeah. But my thought process would be, Peter Parker had the Ben thing, that's how he became Spider-Man. Miles Morales had the Peter Parker thing, that's how he becomes Spider-Man.
And Uncle Aaron.
So he's kind of had his thing, so...
That's what I thought. That's what
the
I
canon event for me for Miles is a bit of a misshapen
mess. I had that thought as well. Mess. Mm-hmm. But I suppose his might be different because he's the only one.
But there might be multiple canon events, right?
Mm. There could also be multiple canon events,
like.
Yeah.
In the timeline of a Spider-Man, you have your Uncle Ben, you have your, you know...
Aunt May.
Well, doesn't Gwen die in the Andrew Garfield one?
She does.
So one of those, you know, the love interest dies, and they're not, you know... So there'll be a few of those, which I want to explore more of as well. Mm. We've had a lot of multiverse stuff recently.
It's a bit of a madness. It happens all the time, though. Like, we have films that come out that are almost identical to each other, like, every year. And I'm like, why did they think this was a good idea? This one, it works, to be fair, because I like the Spider-Verse. I like the Doctor Strange film, although not the best. I think this is a quality film as well.
I think as well, if they nail the third one...
Best trilogy ever?
One of the best, probably, for me, it's probably the best trilogy ever. Probably.
I can't think off the top of my head right here, right now, a better trilogy, if it is...
Yeah. Rewatching the first one, I think I definitely... I'd like to go back and actually listen to what I said at the time, because I feel like I didn't rate it that highly when it first came out.
I feel like you did.
Oh, really?
I think you did.
Fair. Yeah. When I watched it again, I was like, wow, this film's actually really, really fucking good. Like,
yeah.
I loved it.
I'm pretty sure we were all taken back how much we liked this animated film. Mm. Like, I'm used to anime and animation. Animated films, I think, are different. Like, this is a really good... This is a really good point for a first and second film. I think they've done tremendously.
Mm.
And now you two have said there's linkages between them both. I now want to go back and watch.
Yeah.
I think as well, cap off quickly. I think, I hope, Into the Spider-Verse and Across the Spider-Verse get more credit for how much they've influenced animation. Like, when I think about Into the Spider-Verse, films that come out after that, I just think two off the top of my head. Do you watch Mitchell vs. the Machines on Netflix?
Oh, yeah.
Something like that. I saw the trailer for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, God, that animation style is crazy.
And I'm just thinking, like, they kind of put this idea in the air that you don't have to use the same styles of animation, like the Pixar, basically. Basically, animation was either 2D or it was Pixar, Disney style.
Yeah.
And I think this Into the Spider-Verse, Across the Spider-Verse said, actually, no, we're going to go more, like, digital with it.
Yeah.
And then also, even, like, now you... developing all the way up to the point where you get, like, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, basically, like, an oil painting.
Yeah.
And I think, like, it's really visually stimulating to see. And I'm glad that, like, more studios are kind of getting more, like, creative avenues of kind of, like, getting their...
You even get some things like, was it Star Wars Visions, where they had a different animation house just do a little short.
Yeah, that was quite good,
and they're sort of, like, and you had Love, Death and Robots as well.
Mm. I didn't finish that, but, yeah, that looked kind of crazy as well. I can't, honestly though, I'd have to rewatch this film. Off the top of my head, I'd give it an 8.5, but it probably deserves a bit more.
Yeah, probably 8.5.
I watched it twice. Probably give it like a 9.
You can go 9.
Go for 9.5.
Go bold.
Mate, you gave it nothing but superlative just now.
Yeah.
And your one, I mean, didn't let you finish what your upgrades would have been. But
what's the thing? I was generally thinking, actually, what would I upgrade on? Maybe I'd make it like maybe 10 minutes shorter, but then I was thinking about that. I don't know what I would cut.
There was not really any fat on it, was there?
Because I'd say I had frustration that he didn't tell his parents that he was Spider-Man, but he then did try and do it at the end to then no avail because it's not his parents.
Mm. Also doesn't have a song quite as catchy as the previous.
That's true.
I do also feel like Gwen Stacy should have been a bit more maybe forthcoming, but then she's obviously bound by these other friendships she's made.
Mm.
I
suppose as well, like, sorry, I'm just thinking of stuff as we're talking. I like how the mum got a bit more shine in this film than she did in the last one. And kind of gets talked
about. So many people on social media were like, this mum's hot. And I was like...
No, I hear it though. Obviously, it's animated, but I get it.
Is she better than Mrs. Incredible?
Oh, no, man.
So from animated Marvel to live action Marvel, we've got Secret Invasion, which...
I was wondering where you were going with that then. I was like, what other Marvel thing have we watched?
At time of recording, we are 2/3 of the way through, 4 episodes out of 6.
It's only 6 eps?
Yeah.
Have you watched episode 4?
Yeah, but... So wrap it up in two. Oh mate,
I don't know. This is the problem with these Marvel shows, right? They bite off.
I feel like we can play another way though. I feel like we complain when it's 9 because then there's normally like 1 or 2 filler episodes, and then we complain when it's 6 because like, oh, it's not 9.
They bite off more than they can chew. Yeah, but it's the same amount of time. They just split up differently.
I just feel like yeah, you know, I'm always going to complain about it, but I feel like the shows that need less, they do more for. Mm. And the shows that need more, they do less. Like.
Well, Daredevil's getting 18, so...
What's that?
Daredevil's getting 18, so... we'll see if that's too
insane.
If that's too many.
There's no way they're... I don't think they're going to put an 18-episode season. Yeah. I don't believe that's actually going to happen. Like, not 18 episodes. I think that... I mean, in this day and age, it's rare.
Yeah, that's like a fucking CW show, isn't it? But, so, Secret Invasion is basically a show focusing on Nick Fury, who's pretty much been a side piece for the last... 10 years of Marvel. He's finally getting his sort of place in the spotlight. So we are kind of, I guess, contemporary time, which for the MCU is, I think, 2025-ish. It's like, we're beyond 2023.
We are beyond 2023.
I think they're ahead. I don't know what year it's supposed to be.
Because they were in 2023 when Spider-Man Far From Home came out. That was 2023.
But aren't most of these events happening simultaneously?
Yeah, but they I think they make quite... So in the series, they go, oh, this is 1995, this is 2012, whatever. They make a very clear point of just saying today, which I would rather... I think they don't want to commit to like what time period we're actually in the MCU. Regardless of when it is, it's contemporary.
Are you all right, 2025?
Yeah, so we've got... Talos is back, the Skrull. Essentially, there's a kind of disenfranchised Skrull leader called Gravik, who sort of knew Nick Fury from when he was a young boy. They basically think that Nick Fury has broken a promise to them where he said that he would, 30 years ago, find them a home planet to live on. They feel abandoned by Captain Marvel. They feel abandoned by Nick Fury, who was up in space for so long. And Gravik has sort of got a following of people, including Gaia, who's Talos' daughter, and they want to take Earth as their own home. And so he's got a plan to sort of pretend to be Russian, but pit the humans against each other in war, and then they will be easy to pick off by the Skrulls. He's also developing... Super Skrulls by taking elements of Groot, of Ebony Maw, who was one of Thanos' henchmen, and the Extremis virus from Iron Man 3, remember that?
Mm.
And I think one other thing, but he's basically like...
Oh, I didn't see that.
DNA splicing.
Yeah, it was on like I think it's episode 3.
Oh, mate, I missed that. I was thinking it was bare like the Extremis thing, and I was like, why has no one ever done this before? Like, that's cool.
The DNA splicing to make Super Skrulls. Because they acknowledge that Nick Fury can just call the Avengers and they'll get fucked up. So first episode, we've got Nick Fury coming down from space because there's a threat that Skrulls have infiltrated high powerful positions across the world. We get Martin Freeman's character, what's his name? He's got the same name.
Everett Ross.
That's it, Everett Ross.
Is that his name in it? The same as Thingy Ross?
Yeah, Thunderbolt Ross. Oh. Not related, apparently. So he's in the first episode and he turns out to be a Skrull, although I don't know if it's a Skrull impersonating him or if he's always been a Skrull, but he gets killed.
I don't assume that
it's someone impersonating him.
Yeah.
If they killed him off just like that, that's kind of mad.
And so then basically Nick and Kobe Smulders' character Maria Hill, they're going around trying to find Gravik, trying to stop a threat in Moscow. They're going to blow it up. Gravik's there, succeeds in his plan, and ends up, as Nick Fury, shooting Maria Hill and killing her. And then we've also, yeah, so it's like a paranoid sort of spy thriller.
Mm.
The Skrulls can beat anyone at any time, which I think they could do more with, because it's quite a endless possibility. Mm. You've also got Don Cheadle's character, James Rhodes. Is it James Rhodes?
James mm-hmm. Rhodes.
Rhodey, who, as of the last episode, is confirmed to be a Skrull at the moment, who's advisor to the president. He's basically trying to put Nick Fury off his path, sacks him. And, yeah, so we've got two episodes left. Talos has just been killed at the end of episode 4, again, seemingly, because Gaia was killed at the end of the third episode, but then we get a flashback and she turned herself into a Super Skrull. So it's quite complex, lots of moving parts. Anyone can be anyone, but actually not that many Skrulls seem to impersonate many other people. Mm. So I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying sort of like paranoia aspect. The Super Skrull thing's interesting, but I don't know, to me it's sort of like you've waited 30 years to do this and I still want to know what Nick Fury was doing up in space all that time. You know, there's a lot of, I think it creates so many questions of like, these people could have been anyone at any time all the time, and now you're only, well, you could have been masquerading as the president for however long, but actually not really done anything with that power. What has Rhodey been doing? How long has he been a Skrull, and what has he been doing? What's the purpose of it?
And who is that? Like the Skrull. Who is that? Who's she?
Yeah, exactly. Nikki Graham. Who is she? Where did you find her?
I've actually got like bare questions, you know.
Wait,
like,
before you ask questions, can I just really give my quick spiel about this show?
Yeah.
So, I think the show's fine. I think it's okay.
Yeah.
I think that I've gotten to the point now with these Marvel shows, and I don't know if it's because there's so many of them, or if it's just because the quality's not fantastic, where I'm just, like, going with pretty low expectations. But if you ask me, do I think the show's good, I'm going to tell you no, because 2-3 main things. One, I think, like you say, we're 4 episodes in now, and I'm kind of just like, where is this going? Is it going to be consequential to anything in the MCU? I feel like the biggest lie the devil ever told was that these shows are going to matter that much to the films, because they don't really. Like, they really don't. I don't think anything big in this film is going to be consequential to any of the films that we see.
The biggest thing that will happen is Nick Fury will die in the reality of it. Doesn't matter.
Because he's barely been in the films in the last few years.
He's done his bit, yeah.
And, like, I just watched this thinking, like, do I have to watch this? The answer is probably not. Do I want to watch this? I guess. I'm not at the point where, like, when WandaVision first dropped, when Loki first dropped, even when Falcon and Soldier first dropped, I was locked in. On the day it came out, I was like, yeah, I'm watching this. Now I'm just like, I'll watch it when I've got time.
Yeah. You
know what I mean? But like, WandaVision led into Doctor Strange. Loki has sort of ramifications
that we haven't seen yet.
Loki season 2, those coming out.
Yeah.
That's actually the first MCU show to have a sequel, isn't it?
Yeah. But do you know that point where what's his face is talking?
Who's what's his face?
Jonathan Majors?
Yeah, when he's talking. When he says, oh, I don't know what's going to happen now, a lot of things apparently coincide with that in episode-wise. So Wanda, when she does the whole, takes the book in, and then there's something else that happens in another series or a film, the things coincide with him not knowing what's going to happen later.
That sounds really cool. Be great for them to tell us that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And this is the thing, you said that, they're all happening concurrently. I don't know.
Yeah,
are they?
Yeah, this is also a very good point.
Like, is the reason the Avengers are not there because Captain Marvel's doing the Marvels you know, all this sort of stuff.
Well, even quickly, just to spit the energy, like, who are the Avengers right now? We don't even know who's an Avenger right now.
Very good point.
Because Hawkeye done his thing.
We've got no Iron Man. We've got no Hawkeye. We've got no...
No original Cap.
So we've got
Black Widow's dead.
So we've got new Cap. Got Thor.
Thor, I guess.
Yeah.
His daughter, maybe.
Spider-Man, maybe.
Spider-Man,
maybe. Guardians, a few
Doctor
of them.
Doctor Strange, Guardian. Or well, a few of them, because they're maybe. No longer the same Guardians. But Rocket was the only... still the same one.
Yes.
I mean...
But yeah, this leads into Armor Wars, which I couldn't give a shit about, because I don't really care much about Rhodes. Certainly not to lead a show.
I actively dislike, and I always have, Don Cheadle's version of...
Someone said, Rhodey. I don't know if it was either of you or if I read it somewhere on Twitter, someone said it would be so sick if it was revealed that Rhodey was a Skrull and actually the real Skrull was Terrence Howard was the real Rhodey.
That would be so funny. That would be
how did Tony Stark not fucking realize?
I would forgive them for everything that they've done if they made that decision.
And like Bruce Banner is like actually Edward Norton.
That'd be so funny.
But I don't know.
I don't mind Mark Ruffalo as the Hulk. I really couldn't give a shit. Who is the Hulk?
Yeah. But like, so maybe Falcon Winter Soldier is going to lead into Cap 4.
Yeah.
Again, when are we getting that?
I just don't care.
It was supposed to be next year, writer strike. I don't know how much they were in.
Yeah.
So a lot of these things, again, I say it all the time, they don't reference one another.
Yeah.
You're like, you got fucking Tiamat, like.
I'm going to keep, yeah, I'll keep banging
there's
on
about there's an entire new continent.
Until they talk about planet. It, I'm going to keep banging on about it. That Tiamat thing, because it just happened and then the big fucking Titan
fucking hand.
At the end of the Eternals. Yeah. No one's mentioned it since that happened.
Oh, yeah. And apparently, the actor who plays Shang-Chi came out and said Shang-Chi 2 is supposed to come out after Secret Wars.
What, like?
In like 4 years' time, 5 years' time.
Okay.
Just crazy. I don't know.
I don't want to go off topic of this because there is a lot I want to spiel about. But
what film
would we want to see? What film would we be like Marvel film that's coming out? We're like, yeah, but this is what we wanted. This is
Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, I want to see some X-Men stuff, man. It's been the time. I reckon
Deadpool 3.
Deadpool's gonna reset.
I saw a set picture where they had 20th Century Fox's logo crash down.
Mm,
and like the idea is that he basically destroys the Fox universe.
Right.
And...
Oh, yeah, that's what I think. He's going to boom and then bring in the new
piece. I would watch a new Spider-Man film.
Because
it's like, what is, you know?
I want a new Spider-Man. Deadpool, I'm actually kind of looking forward to. I rewatched number 2 the other day. I think I slated it quite a lot, but
I don't like
it. It's an okay film.
Mm.
It's not world beater, but it'll do.
Mm.
But back onto this, actually, because there's a lot to... Where's Rhodey?
Good question.
First of all.
Good question. Where is Rhodey? How long has Rhodey been gone?
Actually, no. Let's rewind actually.
To the beginning, go on.
So they're saying that Nick Fury has been gone. He's been up in space. So when the blip happened, was that not Nick Fury?
I think it was.
Yeah.
So that was Nick Fury.
I think blip happens, he comes back, and then after Tony's funeral, I think from there.
So 2012 to 2017, when we had the Avengers, and then we had, I assume that's when it was taking place, with actual real time, right? Yeah. So there's only from 2017 to 2023, he's been up in space.
Yeah, only from after Endgame.
So six years now. He's been up in space.
Yeah, I believe.
Right. Because he was a Skrull in No Way Home. No, Far From Home
he was a Skrull. Yeah. So I think, and that came out just after Endgame. So I think after Tony's funeral, he was off.
Right, okay. Because that needed a little bit more clarity to me. Because they were like, after the blip, you just didn't know what to do. Yeah, great. Where were you? Second of all, I need to know, either it's been said in Captain Marvel and I've just missed it, but does Skrull need certain living conditions? Is this why it's so hard to find another planet? Do they have to live on an Earth-like planet?
I don't think so. I think they're literally just trying to find somewhere to live.
Because I'd be belling Rocket and being like, hey,
this is the thing. Yeah.
Can you find me a fucking planet, please?
Yeah, they could just go to nowhere and just live there, surely. Yeah. That's what I was thinking that. And I was thinking, like, why aren't they just, like, going there? Because that place is built for, like, not refugees, but people from all sorts of...
And I get Gravik was a... Let's assume 10 when this all kicked off and he's now...
The Skrulls are... Well, Talos is 140, I think he said, so... Gravik could be like 80, but whatever.
Okay, well, he's done real shit at planning this job because...
He's
like,
so dumb. I was saying this to Glenn earlier.
He's done great making the machine. You smashed it on the machines, mate, because you can steal people's thoughts, you can give yourself super...
Is he Scouse?
I thought that's what he's from London. But I thought, I was thinking, like, he's a scout.
He sounds like Stephen Graham.
He does.
I wonder if he's trying to do a twang or something.
I think he is,
and
yeah.
But
he's from London.
Yeah.
Is he?
Like,
yeah.
I think it's, like, why? So, they all followed Talos. Yeah?
Yeah.
And then they all infiltrated different areas of the government.
Yeah.
So, one's
not under Talos, though, was it? I don't think
I don't know.
So, they...
He was just leading them, and they were like, we haven't found us a planet yet. He's like, oh, my mate Nick's on it. Mm. Been 30 years, bro.
Right. So they've all infiltrated.
Yeah.
Nick, for some reason, didn't know about this because he seemed a pretty.
Yeah, no idea. Yeah.
And then Talos's great idea is that for everyone to live in harmony.
Yeah.
Well, because I would come up with this from multiple angles.
Yeah.
So the first thing, the whole Nick finding them a home, that whole conflict for me. It would make more sense because like they obviously they're annoyed at him that like, oh, we haven't found your home yet, blah 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 blah. I think it would make more sense if Nick had said back in 1995, we will find you a home here, you'll be comfortable here, you'll be able to live here in your own skin, blah blah blah. And then 30 years later they still can't do it and that's why they're angry. I think that makes more sense than we're gonna find you a home in space and we can't find you.
Unfortunately that doesn't work bode well with Nick Fury's like personality of like
no, I guess
protecting not. Earth.
That's true. But like I'm thinking back to things like and I think they could find a way to weave this in where you've got new Asgard on Earth. They are aliens. They're living in harmony. You've got in what was the show we just that come out? She-Hulk. Them freaks living in that
yeah.
place. Where
good point,
they're
actually.
All living there. So I think a conflict could be like, well, these guys can live peacefully on Earth. Why can't we? And that could be where I think that should be where the conflict between the Skrulls.
Go
and
live on Tiamat.
I'm not gonna lie. Yeah, though like, I'd be happy for MCU to just write off She-Hulk and Thor, Love and Thunder.
Okay.
They just want to say the movies and that series just didn't exist. That would also be kind of calm. But I just don't. Yeah, I think there's a lot of too many moving parts here. Obviously. Talos has lost his wife, his daughter's gone off for the rebellion.
Stupid,
and Talos is trying to pander to Nick, but he's also doing his own thing, and then he's helping Nick out, but then he wants his own agenda relived.
Yeah.
And then he talks to his daughter and he tells his daughter his big plan, and his daughter's
this
like,
shit.
And his daughter's like, you're a fucking moron,
bro,
I'm gonna do my own thing.
But the thing
and
is,
she's
like,
a fucking moron.
Thank you.
She suddenly, on the click of a finger, was like, oh, yeah, I'll back you. I'll do what you
Chris,
always do.
You're like, oh.
Then she goes into, like, I can't remember what she fucking done now. She's, like, right-hand woman.
Oh.
She helps her dad out. What did she do after that parliament meeting? She, like, crashed a car or something. I don't know. And then she goes and steals all the secret shit, soups herself up. Would she not just been better destroying the whole fucking machine?
Probably.
She's also definitely the only person who's going to be able to kill Gravik.
Probably.
Unless they just parachute in an Avenger.
Yeah.
Sorry,
Maria Hill, she's been done dirty, mate. She's been in and out of all these films and series, and then she just gets shot and dies.
I got the feeling that she was like, this is the last thing I'm going to do.
Kobe Smulders was
like, I think she's like, I'm out. Like, I'll do this one episode, but after that, I'm done. That's the feeling that I got from...
Because, like, to me... She needs to be coming back in episode 6, personally.
But
at the end of the day, too many people have already come back in this series, so just
they
wipe
could
her
have,
off.
The thing is, the whole paranoia thing about anyone can be a Skrull, and...
Zero attention,
because it was so obvious that Rhodey was a Skrull, and apart from Everett Ross, who's a very, very minor character, I don't know, I just thought we were going to be getting, like... Falcon, like Anthony Mackie's character. What's the Falcon's name?
Sam Wilson.
That's it, Sam Wilson. Like, if someone like that, who is a major player in the future of the MCU, at the end of it, it's like, oh, do you know, I reckon Sam's a Skrull.
Mm.
And then you lead into Cap 4 with that knowledge, or something like that. Because no one cares about Rhodey. And what, oh, yeah, he's been a...
His attitude
he's
was
been a
so
scroll
stinky, bro.
He's been a Skrull since 2014. You go, all right, well, watch...
It just don't suit his character.
Whenever they say he's been a Skrull from, you go, you watch that before. Because he was in Falcon and Winter Soldier, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Very briefly.
Yeah.
Who?
Rhodey.
But,
oh, yeah.
But have they thought about this for a while, whereas actions he's done in the previous things he was in are now suspect? Mm. Or is it just like, we just need a moderately, like, regular character to turn to
scroll? And what was, someone tell me the purpose of, so he got Rhodey to drink the really old scotch.
And
or...
A liquid tracker in it.
Oh, it did?
Yeah. That's how they knew where he was going.
Oh, right. Because I was like...
Yeah, no.
They made his breath really smell like alcohol, so the president was like...
Yeah, that was a weird scene as well. Mm. I thought, like, the president was basically saying, like, why are you drunk on the job?
Yeah.
And I was thinking, like what kind of impression are you trying to set?
Yeah, I feel like there was...
I thought that was really odd.
I feel like the scene's missing. That, like... This is like... I just keep going on tangents, but... Like Falcon and Winter Soldier... Well, there were so many good things they could have done, and they just kept, like, they kept isolating stories, and it just didn't intertwine with one another. Like,
I'm enjoying Falcon and Winter Soldier way more than this, by the way.
Yeah,
I'm not
enjoying this. I just think it's like there's no real excitement in me. And whereas Falcon and Winter Soldier, at least there was things happening. Mm. Like, don't really get how what's his face came back in Falcon and Winter Soldier. The bad guy.
Zemo.
Like, he was there. Don't know why they even brought him back. Yeah. What's her face became a bad guy. That didn't really make sense to me that she became bad. Mm. Then they tried to do, like, a political standpoint. It kind of got brushed aside a little bit. And then I feel like there's lots of stories that we would have really liked to see. Mm. And they didn't really go with it. And I feel like this one, they just got too many different viewpoints.
Mm.
And it's not... You kind of needed... Oh, I don't know, it's a hard one. Because I think you've got four viewpoints in this story. You've got Nick's, you've got Talos's, you've got his daughter's, and you've got Gravik's.
Yeah.
And they've all got somewhat similar but different in opinions.
Yeah.
And, yeah, just Nick Fury, I just don't know what he's been doing. It just don't make sense.
So, quickly, while you talk about Nick Fury, yeah. So, one of my big problems, and I'll talk about the other one in a minute, but one of my big problems with the show, I feel like they're character assassinating Nick Fury a little bit, and it's getting my nerves. Because Nick Fury... throughout this whole show, he's always been the guy one step ahead. He's, you know, all-knowing. Like, he's proper, like, sick guy who, like, kind of always got his finger on the pulse in terms of everything to do with the Avengers, blah, blah, blah. You get to this show, he's old. People call him out on the fact that he's old, even though it's only, like, 5-6 years after.
When
people say he's old, don't know what he's doing, da-da-da, like, he's lost a step, blah, blah, blah. They make a point of people pointing out that, especially in the first episode and onwards, when he has the conversation with Rhodey, I'm pretty sure Rhodey points out that out as well, the fact that he's getting older, blah, blah, blah. Then you've got episode 3 when him and Talos are on the way to the Navy guy's house, submarine guy's house. Stupid scene as well. Talos is like, you wouldn't be who you are without us. Which I get, but also I'm like, you are taking away the allure of Nick Fury for me. And, like, I don't like that. I feel like Nick Fury is a character who I really like. And now you're saying that basically all of his achievements are down to someone else. I think that's bullshit, to be honest with you.
Yeah. What do you think of the wife?
I don't mind it. I don't mind the reveal that he has a wife. I think that, and I was saying this to Glenn as well, after episode 4, I think the fact that the wife found someone who's dying, said to her, can I take over your life? And then after the woman died, proceeded to then live her life and fool everyone in her life. I think it's kind of weird and a bit fucked up. Like, her parents, her friends, her co-workers, whoever, have all been under the illusion that this woman that they know and love is still alive. In reality, she's been dead for, 10 years?
And presumably hasn't aged either.
And hasn't aged. And I think it's that whole thing, to me, I think morally... ethically is weird, and I feel like they haven't done
well. How many more scrolls have done it as well?
It's the thing, because I was of the assumption that, for example, they will go to like Argentina, find someone in Argentina who looks all right, and be like, okay, cool, I'm gonna look like you, and then go back to America because you're not gonna see this person from Argentina. I'm gonna look like a random person you've never met, not literally taking over people's lives. I think that's quite strange, and even now, coupled with the fact that they are literally holding people in these chambers and taking their memories, and or not taking them, but, you know, holding them in the chambers and whatever, and just kind of like sealing them there for later. Who knows what's going to...
Yeah.
Like, if this draining their life force, or if they're going to kill them, or what. Yeah. I just think it's weird, and I feel like that needs to be... The fact that they're doing that needs to be condemned a bit more, which hasn't really been done in the series yet, I don't think.
Yeah.
Also, it just come to me, and maybe, again, I might miss something. the wife going somewhere to get the gun,
yeah.
Was she directed there, or did she have that gun in a lockbox?
I think she had it.
Why did she not have it in her house?
Good question. No idea. No idea.
And she's been playing him from the start. I don't know. I feel like Tim...
Well, were they actually in love? I feel like they were in love.
Yeah.
Because that's why they didn't shoot each other.
Yeah.
That's what you get implied by She started off as like a double, triple agent. But also I think the fact that they've set this in the present day and we first introduced the Skrulls in 1995, they've left that period too long.
Yeah.
They should have set this in 1999 or 2000 or something like that. And being like, but for all these people to wait 30 years for this plan, which seemingly they're sort of cobbling together right now, I don't know, it just seems
Garrick's shit plan.
I'm going to say, right, this doesn't really make... Sorry, do you want to...
I also want to talk quickly about Garrick's shit plan. Amelia Clark, because you were talking about a second, I'll gang off on it, Chris. Amelia Clark's character is so fucking stupid.
Yeah.
So, like, she starts off the series, episode one, on Garrick's side. Against her dad, like saying, oh yeah, dad, you're doing the wrong way, Garrick's doing the right way, cool, with Garrick, da da da. Like, one episode passes and she's like, oh, maybe Garrick's not the right person. No, it's not even one episode, it's during the first episode.
Yeah.
Taylor calls her up and says, oh, Garrick's doing all this stuff, it's fucked up, you should be a spy on our side.
Not even just that, was it? It was like, your mum died and she would want you
that
to
was
do
it.
This.
Yeah. And then she's like, cool, okay, cool, so I'm going to be a spy. So now she's a double agent, sabotage is one thing, sabotage is another thing, sabotage is the third thing. Then meets up with Garrick, has a face off of him, and she's like, oh, are you, what'd she say to him? She says, like, are you a leader of people? Or are you, I don't know, calls him a terrorist or something like that. And he shoots her dead, cool, whatever. Then she miraculously comes back alive in episode four, meets up with her dad, and like, is talking to her dad, like, okay, so dad, what's your plan? Taylor tells him her plan, his plan's awful. But then she's like, oh, that's a shit plan, and walks off. So, what are you doing then? Like, what? You think it's bad shit?
Yeah.
And you think Garrick's fucked up? Why are you constantly going between two sides? Pick a side. Or if you don't believe in either of them, do your own thing. I guess maybe she's doing that now, but I'm just like, the character is just, for me, it's so weird. And it's a waste of a really good actor.
Yeah, I think so.
And last thing, Garrick's a fucking idiot because, Garrick's plans are a bit dumb and a bit far-fetched, to be honest, but... Episode 4, he says to all his guys, right, pretend they're Russian, and they'll think, and we'll attack the president, they'll think the Russians did it. So then they go into the thing, all shouting Russian, blah, 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 in an attempt to fool, he said, oh, because the Russians are, like, loud and stuff like that, so that will really sell it. In what area ever have Russians ever been known as being, like, loud people? Russians are, like, strong, silent types, no?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, whatever, and secretive. Whatever, goes to the thing, attacks the people, blah, blah. Uses his scroll powers in broad daylight. So they know you're not Russian now, mate. Couple that with the fact that, like, I'm going to be a bit racist here. You're black. Not that many black Russians. Just saying. Also coupled with the fact that, like, why wouldn't you just, morph yourself into some Russian people? And then attack them. And then they'll be like, oh, we identify this guy. He's Russian. There you go. It was the Russians.
Can they only morph into one person?
No, they can morph into multiple people. He does it in the episode.
Yeah. He's been Nick Fury, and then all those people then become Garrick as well.
Yeah. Like, I just think that plan, that was the worst plan. And then, obviously, they all find out that Taylor is an alien. People barely react. Fine, whatever, there's aliens now. That's cool. But then Nick Fury just kind of takes the president into his car and drives off, and no one's like, where's Nick Fury going with the president? Bear in mind the fact
Nick
that
Nick Fury is a wanted terrorist.
He was a wanted terrorist. You've just seen a man turn into another man, and there's not a part of you thinks, is this actually Nick Fury or is it someone else? And everyone just lets him drive off with the president.
Yeah,
no one backs
him. We'll have a bit of cinematic leeway on that one, I feel, maybe.
You just have to say, Fury, stay where you are. And he's like, no, fuck you, and drives off.
Yeah.
But everyone seems to be cool with it. No one backs
him.
Just a few words.
Yeah.
That
is
weird.
Yeah.
Also, last thing, sorry. There was very little tension. I didn't feel anything when Taylor started.
No.
I didn't feel anything.
I felt there was like impactful towards Nick. I saw that, but.
Yeah. Also, some of the audio. So like sometimes in shows, like they'll relay audio so that it sounds better coming from a different angle, like shot from the back of the head, and it's really bad at points in the show. Like the character will be saying lines, and what's coming out audio doesn't match what the character's saying in their mouth. Right. Something I noticed.
Really?
Yeah, cut a few times in. I think it's really shit. Sorry, done. But other than that, the show is just okay. It's fine.
I nearly forgot a point there. But so for me, so you've got Talos, who wants everyone to live in harmony. You've got Gavrik, who wants to take over. Then you've got Nick, who wants to ship him off somewhere else, which majority of people agree with Nick, but they're just a bit pissed it took too long. And then you probably got like Nick Fury's wife, a lot of people, or sorry, not people, Skrulls, who have integrated into life and probably don't want to leave. So I'm a bit like, are you really going to be able to shift all these Skrulls anyway if you can find another
planet? The evidence that they're not at home here?
Yeah, this is also true. And then my next thing is, they're on the train together, Talos and Nick. And Nick questions how many Skrulls are on Earth. Yeah. And Talos goes, a million. Yeah. He goes, a million?
Yeah.
So Nick Fury doesn't even know how many...
No, because Nick thought there was only like 30 of them. But Talos, I think at some point
he sent out a beacon.
Yeah, he sent out a beacon and they all came. I think, was it sent during out, the bit? I think
so, maybe. So he sent out a beacon to him, yeah? So you're telling me these people had another home they could have lived on?
Well, they come from somewhere. So.
Yeah. And then was he sending this... Where did he get a beacon? Like, I think it's all fucking batshit, mate. I think it's a good concept, but just, again, it's what I say with all the TV series, and it's a bit of a shame. I think it's something that we didn't really care about, which is unfortunate. Comic book people probably care about it a lot more. Maybe this would have been a time maybe we could have had Joe in, and he could have been like, well, actually, this happens, and this is why it's good. But I think a lot of things, they just need to hyper-focus more on certain bits, and they're just not...
I do think as well that, like you were saying right at the beginning of this conversation, Glenn, I feel like they should have done a better job of explaining what Nick Fury's been doing for the past however many years and why he decided to make that decision to go up to Sabre or whatever.
I'm wondering if episode 5 they're going to do something, do like a flashback to it. Because right now...
They've been doing flashbacks, so...
But yeah, what have you thought about the CGI of Nick Fury?
It's fine. Yeah.
So I feel like they could do a flashback, because right now I don't know what Nick Fury's plan is. He's got the president...
The president's definitely dying as well, because Harrison Ford plays the president in Cap 4.
Yeah.
Thunderbolt Ross becomes
the president.
Does he?
Yeah. One other thing as well, right?
Oh, he's going to die then?
Yeah.
Well,
right. What's going on with Olivia Colman's character?
I don't know. She's just sort of Olivia appeared. Colman's
character? Yeah.
She was the British...
In the first couple episodes. She goes to the thing and tortures the guy. Injects him with the thing.
Her name's...
Oh, is that Olivia Colman?
Yeah.
Shit,
name's Sonya.
Yeah, Sonya, that's it. And I'm thinking, like, who are you?
This show, interestingly, is definitely not a 12.
You think it's what I?
Yeah, because they, you know, you've got things like he stabs his hand and pulls it through. You've got the torture stuff. You've got shooting in the face. Yeah, that's it. So it's definitely like an edgier show. So they're definitely more open to that. Yeah, I think we've spoken quite a lot about a show that we're not super hot on. We'll leave Mission Impossible spoiler chat for when you've seen it, Chris. All I would say is it's probably almost on a par with Top Gun Maverick.
Really?
It's such a good action film.
Yeah. I think, in terms of action film, I think it's up there. I think emotionally, I don't know what it was, but Top Gun Maverick resonated with me a bit more.
I also think Tom Cruise has an uncanny ability to have chemistry with every single person. Mad.
Also, Hayley Atwell, fuck it off. Oh God, how good looking Hayley Atwell is. And you know what I find weird about it is that I don't think Tom Cruise is like that good looking, but he's got
dapper look.
He's got an aura about him.
He's charming.
Yeah. It's like, shit, man. Like, yeah, he's like the guy.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
no, it's a good film.
I was watching an interview with Hayley Atwell and I don't know who it is. It's BBC Radio 1 guy, or BBC 1 guy, wears glasses, quite a skinny guy.
Oh, Ali Plum.
But he asked really quite good questions to them, and he was asking Hayley Atwell, I noticed the scene where you like said thank you to someone or sorry. I can't remember what he said. And he was like, was that in the script or was that you? And then she was like, yeah, that was me. I didn't mean to, but they've kept it in and stuff like that. So there's little quirks of Hayley Atwell just in the film, because like she bangs the car against the side, and she's quite done the quite British thing of going, oh, sorry.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah, okay. Stuff like that. And I can't remember, there was another thing that he said. But
she's a good addition.
Yeah, sounds like she's done quite well.
There's definitely one character, not giving anything away, who has almost no lines, but she's quite a... Well,
yeah.
Currently a well-known actress, and I thought that, and it's just really underused.
That was one thing. That's probably one of my criticisms of the film. I feel like, and it was weird actually. I think there was. Do you remember when, the Mission Impossible? I think the trailer leaked, and then they brought out a trailer with which was just like scenes, all music, no dialogue. Do you remember that when that came out?
No.
Okay, maybe I'm making up.
No, but probably not. I just didn't watch many of them.
That happened. Obviously, I think it was like a year ago, maybe a bit longer ago. And there was a lot of scenes, I say a lot, probably only like three, in this film where it was just picture, music, no dialogue. And I'm thinking like, I was just thinking like, this has happened more, quite a lot, and it's weird. And I don't know why they're doing it like this. And I didn't like it particularly. It was very strange. I didn't get it. And it was like, but it reminded me of watching that when I watched that first trailer. And there was no dialogue because I think they hadn't done the audio for the trailer yet. Because it got leaked. I was like, oh shit, we have to put this out now. Yeah, it was very strange. But I did enjoy the film. I do think that Fallout... I have to rewatch Fallout, but I think Fallout's better.
Have you finished your watch through yet?
No, I've just haven't watched... I'm halfway through Rogue Nation. But I've watched all the rest of them. So yeah, this is easily top three. Easily top three. I haven't finished Rogue Nation yet, which I'm actually really enjoying. So that might be number two, depending. But I think, without giving anything away, I would say this film did really well, actually, I think, from the first film, that I think it struggled through like the first couple, but they got to, I think, number four, where they're like, this is the team now. This is the people who are in this team, and we're just going to go carry on these core characters from here onwards. And I think that was definitely the best decision they made, rather than chopping and changing the teams every time they did in the first three films, or four, I think. And kind of like getting to that point now where everyone who's involved in the team, the most important thing in their life is the team.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy that aspect of it. I'll tell you one thing I really don't like is the villain of the film. I think is a bit badly written, I think. And certain, the motivation for certain villainous characters, I think, is a bit odd. Yeah, but other than that, great film, great action sequences. We'll get into it
next time.
I do have one question for you, and it's been going around the internet. Like, obviously, Mission Impossible films, like you said, they're like a kind of a family. Like, they always do stuff for each other. They trust in Tom Cruise, but there is one member that hasn't reoccurred. Can you name
Jeremy Renner's character?
Jeremy Renner's character hasn't come back.
He's in two of the films, by the way.
He's in two.
Yeah, we spoke about this the other day, and he's in two of them. He's in Rogue Nation. He's in Ghost Protocol.
He's in both of them.
Mm.
Oh shit! Okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was only in one.
Because he pops up in literally the first scene of Rogue Nation. Oh, he's in this! Because like, we spoke about it. I was thinking, he's not going to be in it, but he was in it. He's in those two. I guess he's...
Was he prominent in both of them?
Yeah.
But why is he not... Like, did they...
I don't know. Well, I haven't finished Rogue Nation, so I don't know. Maybe he dies.
he didn't come back for Fallout because of a clash with Avengers or something, and then he's just not... Maybe they'll bring him back, but...
What's his speciality?
I don't know.
He's like combat. He's combat ready. This is his thing. But he's like he's a field agent, but he's not in the field.
Yeah.
It's very strange. But yeah.
They should also stop calling it Mission Impossible, because at what point do these missions not become... It's just Mission Quite Difficult.
I will say as well, one thing that annoys the hell out of me, right? And I think they do it in Fast and Furious as well. They have really terrible names for these organisations. The Syndicate.
Yeah.
The, well, that's not too bad. The what's they call it in this one? It's
the entity.
The entity. The in the Arthurist, the agency. I'm just like, can you think of an actual name rather than just call it
but
this
I love
generic
that,
one thing?
So in this one, they go, oh, the IMF. What, the International Monetary Fund?
Yeah.
No. It stands for Impossible Mission Foundation or something. You go, oh, okay.
That's quite funny, I like that.
But finally, well, I don't know if they've addressed it in other films, but I've been like, pretty sure the IMF's a bank.
Yeah.
Anyway, we will go into detail once Chris has seen it. I'm going to need to wrap it up there. But next time we convene, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about Indiana Jones. We will talk about Barbie and Oppenheimer, if we've managed to see those by then. No hard feelings, and we've probably finished Secret Invasion by then. But thank you for listening. You can follow us on social media. We are on Twitter at YSCPodcast17. We're on Instagram and Threads as Your Average Critics, and TikTok as well. Previous episodes, Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Give me a peace.